Well, our scripture today is from Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 23. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has been baptized. He's been tempted in the wilderness. And now he hears that John the Baptist has died. And Jesus is ready to begin his public ministry. And he begins it with the calling of his first disciples. And this is according, of course, to Matthew's Gospel. So let us listen now to the Word of God. Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very quickly, I want to point out three things for you to notice in this scripture. The first thing that I want to point out is that Jesus chose Andrew, Peter, James, and John. And the reason I want to point that out to you is that in the days of Jesus, people wanted to become a disciple of a certain renowned rabbi, but they would have to apply. They would have to be learned. They would have to bring their credentials. They'd have to bring their experience. And they'd go to a rabbi and they'd say, "I'd like to be your disciple. And here's how I have studied the law. And here's how I have lived according to the law. Here are my credentials." And they'd take the examination. And if they passed, they could be the disciple of that particular rabbi. But rabbis didn't go around choosing disciples. So that's the first thing I want you to notice, is that Jesus chose these fishermen. And did I say the word fishermen? Look who Jesus chose. This is very, very important, because you see, what we're talking about today is the call to be Jesus' disciples comes to each and every one of us, no matter who we are or what our background is. But it does remind me, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and following, the truth of this statement. "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God." This is the first thing I want you to notice, that Jesus, the master rabbi, chose these disciples. And his call comes to you, and it comes to me. You know, when I think about growing up, one of the saddest experiences in elementary school that I ever witnessed was when we were on the playground. Now, I never got left out of being chosen for a team. I was pretty big, you know, and they called me Moose. Everybody wanted me on their team. I didn't have a problem being chosen. But there are always some little boys and some little girls who were left standing on the sideline. No one ever chose them. And what's so sad about that is some people go their entire lives and no one ever calls them. To be uncalled for is such a lonely existence. To feel not wanted, such a lonely existence. And this is why I serve Jesus. Because he calls each and every one of us. Where each and every one of us are persons of significant worth, he calls us. And it's not according to our credentials. That's the first thing I want you to notice. It broke the tradition of the day and time. The second thing I want you to notice is this. You're probably scratching your head. In Matthew's gospel, we have no knowledge that Andrew and Peter and James and John had ever met Jesus before. They're just doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were fishing. Andrew and Peter were casting the nets out into the sea to catch fish. James and John were mending the nets with their father Zebedee in the boat. And Jesus just comes along and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they drop their nets and they follow him. And I'm left scratching my head going, so Jesus said, "Follow me," and I was told, "Don't follow strangers." What was it that led them just to suddenly drop everything and leave it behind and to follow Jesus? Well, that's a good question. But what I think the gospel writer is doing for us is he's lifting up to us a concern. The sense of urgency in responding to the call of Christ is one in which we are to be obedient. And these disciples represent to us obedience to the call of Jesus. It also illustrates this, that when Jesus called, his call was one that had authority, one that had a certain sense of authenticity to it. And so what I believe we need to take a look at here is this, that Christ calls with a sense of authority, knowledge, wisdom, authenticity, and it is a call that we cannot so easily shove away and put on the shelf. It's a call that we need to respond to immediately, but most of us don't. That's okay. I'll get to that later. But the importance, though, in the book The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer was that when Christ calls, we are to be obedient. And some will say, "Well, how can I be obedient when I don't even know if I believe in this man?" And Bonhoeffer says, you follow Jesus and you come to believe in him. He says that being obedient leads us to faith in Christ, but faith in Christ leads us to be obedient. It's kind of a paradox. You see, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: when Jesus Christ calls a person, he calls them to die to self. And that's what happened to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died in a Nazi concentration camp because he responded to the call of Christ to stand up for what was wrong in the world, to be a witness of a different alternative, to be a witness of Christ. He was executed on Easter Sunday. And what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says to me in this book, Cost of Discipleship, is that this thing about discipleship isn't something that we just choose to do whether we want to do or we volunteer to do, or it's no slight little thing that we do. It's of supreme importance. Obedience to the call. No matter what,
The disciples didn't know what would lie ahead. The third point is this, is that the call, and I've already alluded to it, to become a follower of Jesus will not mean just a change in your life. Rather, it will mean a life that has to change. And the good news, of course, is that that's what God's grace does for us. God's grace working in us to conform us into the image of Christ. It's not a matter of gritting our teeth and trying harder to be a good disciple. Rather, it's making ourselves available, being obedient, taking the next step and believing that God will perfect us. God will make us, through Christ, disciples and fishers of men. God's grace will so work in us that we can do the things that we do not think we can do. But take a look at this third point. Following Christ will ultimately result in a changed life. Now, in this story, we already see a change, and I alluded to it before. And the change we already see is that the nets are dropped. Now, it doesn't mean that they never went back to go fishing again. Certainly. But if they went back to fishing again, those nets were to be in service for a higher calling. Always, everything that they had, their time, their talents, everything was to be in service to the one who called them. Albert Schweitzer was called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The great mind of the 20th century, great scholar, was called to be a medical missionary and to leave his safe and secure life in Europe and to go to a country that he would be, well, forced to leave his music world behind. Albert Schweitzer was a great organist. He went all over the place giving concerts. He would attract thousands and thousands of people, and he was world renowned for his concerts. But he had to leave his organ in Europe because it wouldn't stand the test of the weather in Africa. Whenever he came back to Europe, he played the organ, but it was in the service of the one who called him. Because all the monies raised went to provide medicine and medical help for those he served in Africa. I remember as a little boy seeing him on TV, and I just thought to myself, wow, that's what it means to follow Jesus. And then I thought to myself, well, what changes have I made in my life to give evidence that I'm a follower of Christ? And what ways have I left my nets down to follow immediately? Well, the good news, as I said, is this. The change happens throughout our life. From time to time, I'll imagine that I'm 16 years old again. And I'm looking at myself when I was 16, and now I'm 64, soon to be 65. And I'll have a conversation with a 16-year-old youth. And I'll go, man, you have no idea what you're getting ready to go through. There's a lot of changes that's taken place in my life. A lot of changes. It hasn't always been smooth of always growing. There's been a lot of, on a graph, going all over the place. But over a long period of time, looking back, there's been a lot of significant, real changes. And they were the result not of what I did, but of what Christ did through me. And so it's so very important to realize that following Christ will demand a change. Now, here is the good news. You, me, all of us are called. And all we have to do is take the next step. We don't have to figure it all out. So oftentimes I do talk with 16-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds. And they're trying to figure everything out. And I say, hey, you know, I can't help you figure everything out. But maybe we can talk about that next step that you can take. That next step is the step of obedience. According to the light that has shed upon your path, what do you know to be true about following Jesus? And you take that step And it'll lead to another one, and it'll lead to another one, and it'll lead to another one, and it'll lead to another one. But everybody has a call story. And you see, we're having this series called Refocus, because we need to get back to the basics of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie is the vision of our church. And part of sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie is being able to share our call stories. How were you called? Being able to share how it is that you were called to do what you do. Now, I want to say this. We're not just called once. We're called several times over the course of our life. And I've come to see that I'm called each and every day. And those of us who have gone through the Emmaus retreat had a little guideline that we went by, where once a week we would review these questions. And one of the questions was, when did you respond to the call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ this past week? When was the call to respond to being the disciple of Jesus Christ this week denied? And so the call comes to us throughout our lifetime, and it doesn't just come once, but it comes once at least to say, follow me. And so each of us have a call story, and yours isn't like mine. Mine isn't like yours. But this call story is important, because you see, people will want to know, why are you doing what you're doing? And you need to be able to say, I was called. You know, this is very touching to me. I hope that you'll get the connection, take it home and read it. There's so many good faith stories in here, but the one about Bridge the Gap has kind of touched a note in my heart. Listen to it. Is God calling you? The people involved in Bridge the Gap heard God's call and responded to make a difference in people's lives. Bridge the Gap grew out of the celebration service, explained Becky Vierson. It began with Lee Vierson and Otis Hardy's work in Southeast Raleigh. Kellen Duffy, with Steve Glass's help, made Bridge the Gap a tax-exempt nonprofit organization. Jan Hedberg and Kelly Fitzner serve on the board of directors. They write that our purpose is to serve low-income people, homeless people, and those living in poverty in Southeast Raleigh. Our focus this year has been to expand educational classes and continue children and family events as students become successful with reading skills, skills needed to pass the GED, and basic computer skills. We see lives changed. We are proud, and their self-esteem improves. Their self-confidence grows. Students feel good about themselves. They come to know someone cares about them. And then this quote from Kathy Busby. Now, she got one thing wrong in here. I'll make the correction for you. But that's a little thing. The big thing is what she says. I just took the step to serve in November and signed up for Santa's workshop and also to tutor on a regular basis. I have been impacted by everyone I have met at Bridge the Gap. I had heard about this ministry many times at the celebration service. After listening to the testimonial of Cozell McQueen, now it wasn't Cozell McQueen, it was Alvin Battle. Alvin Battle at celebration, I felt the call to step up and work with this outreach. Santa's workshop was extremely touching. To connect with families, parents, and grandparents who now would be able to provide gifts at Christmas was my best Christmas gift. I was paired to help tutor a gentleman who is a student at Wake Tech. He has faced challenges in his life and is currently in a two-year program. Getting to know this gentleman and to be of assistance as he moves forward with his life is a blessing beyond my expectations. Being inspired by Otis, Becky, and others involved with Bridge the Gap, helping others in any way I can, is changing my outlook on life and my priorities. I am committed to do all I can for this outreach and the community they serve. Now, the article goes on and on and on. But I know Kathy Busby. Kathy Busby has gone through significant losses in her life the last several years. You might want to say that we all go through those times. We don't know what we're here for. But the good news is this. We're here to respond to the call of God. That call comes in many different ways. Sometimes it just comes to us in the midst of our everyday life, casting our nets, sometimes seated in a classroom, sometimes in a worship service. But that call always comes, and that call changes our life, and it changes the lives of others. The invitation for prayer is just simply this. You're invited to respond to the call of God on your life today. I'll pray with you about any particular need that you have. But I urge each and every one of us to listen to Jesus' call today to follow me. Let us stand.